Now, as we move forward, I want us as members of Liberty Baptist Church to think about something. What type of member, or what's our duty as a church member? What does God expect of us? As we come closer to reconstituting as a New Testament church, we need to ask ourselves, what does the Lord expect of me as a member? What does God expect of me as a member? What does God expect of you as members of what's soon to be Liberty Baptist Church, a New Testament church? What does God expect of you? We have to ask ourselves that. This really is of utmost importance if we're going to move forward with God's blessing on us as a church. Answering this, what kind of church member does God expect me to be? How many of us, you know, going to school and stuff, we hear, oh, you know, be a star. You know, go above and beyond. We hear all these things. You know, I mean, does anybody set out in life to just say, man, I hope I am average. Do any of you do that? I just want to be average. Most people I know don't ever do that. And you guys know me, I'm competitive, so I don't ever want to be just average, all right? I can't, don't put the average people on my team, all right? And not that they're just, that if they have that attitude, I'm like, I don't want them on my team. I'm like, go get water or something. I don't know what to tell you. Just please, we need a pinch hitter or something here. If you have no desire to win, I'm like, I don't want you on my team, okay? I want to win. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is, when it is, I want to win. You guys know that. So do we have the attitude, though, coming into next week and becoming a member of what's going to be a New Testament church that, you know, I just want to be an average member? And I'm not saying biblically average. We're going to look at the average member in the Bible. Okay, I'm fine if you want to do that. You say, I want to be the average member in the Bible. I'm all right, because we're going to look at that. But I'm talking about what the world says is average, what Christendom says is the average member. You know, oh, just Sunday morning? Is that what we want? We better ask ourselves if that's what we want. And we need to make a decision. Do we want to stay there? Is that what God wants for us? See, what kind of member does God expect you to be? What does God expect of you? Does God just, you know, and we can get in the rut too of just like, well, we come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and, you know, sometimes we go soul winning. I mean, it can become a rut. Don't let it. Don't let it. I mean, keep your walk with God good. Keep it going good. I mean, hey, if you need to listen to a song like we just heard to get you fired up, amen, do it. I do it sometimes. I need that, amen. I need God to use some music to break me sometimes, to bring some emotion into my life sometimes. That's not always a bad thing. I need that sometimes. Use it if that's what you need. But ask yourself, what kind of member does God want me to be? Because if we want God's blessing on us, we need to figure it out, and we need to be the right type of church member. So we're here in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I don't know if I told you the verse. No, I used to hate when preachers would do that. And then they just start reading and you're like, man, come on, where are you at? And you're trying to flip to it. All right, Acts 2:41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, I need you. I pray you fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Use me, speak through me, God. Help me. Help your people. Help us really just tune in and ask ourselves, what kind of church member do we want to be, and what kind of church member are you looking for? And if we can fit that bill, Lord, conform us to your image. Help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, if there's hypocrisy in our life, remove it. If there's rebellion in our hearts, remove it. God, and if there's love for you in our life, grow it. We need you, Lord. Amen. If you're not fully committed to following the Lord, listen carefully, please. You may want to reconsider becoming a member here. If you're not fully committed to following the Lord, you may want to reconsider becoming a member here. Where are you at? Now, look, as I say all this, I want to preface everything I'm saying with this thought. If you don't join, it doesn't mean you can't stay coming here. You're welcome to keep coming here. And as maybe the Lord will work in your heart and you will join. That's what we want. I'm just telling you, we want you to be a member here. But at the same time, we want you to be the right type of member. I want our church to grow, but not at the expense of truth. And not at the expense of, you know, we're just bringing anybody in, but they're not going the same direction we are. Right. We want to all be walking in unity, and we're going to get to that as we look at these characteristics of a church member here. We want that. We want to be going the same way, because if there's no unity, this church is going down. I'll tell you right now, we're going down. If there's no unity, we're going down. So it's important that we have that unity. So if you're not fully committed to following the Lord, you may want to reconsider becoming a member here. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect or sinless. Okay, that's no. None of us could join them. We're all out. All right. So it's not saying that. So don't think that, well, I've got to be perfect. I can't have messed up ever, or I can't still be struggling with something. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that your heart is set on the Lord. And you say, Lord, I want to follow you. Help me. That's what it means. And you're just desiring to follow him and go where he leads you. Again, it's not that we don't want you, but if you don't want to be an integral part of what's going on here, then we don't want you. If you don't want to be an integral part of what is going on here, then we don't want you. I mean, come on now, think about this. Anybody, if you find some weird growth on your body somewhere, think, come on now. If you find some weird growth on your body, are you like, praise the Lord, I wonder when that was coming. You know, I didn't know what this big tumor-looking thing on my back of my arm was, but I'm glad it's there. You're like, no, what use is that? That might actually be dangerous. That could be cancer. I get that thing off. I don't want it there. Can you guys see it? Get it off. I mean, you're not going to want that. It's of no use. It's just there. You say, that's kind of harsh, Pastor. Well, would it be harsh if it was on your body? You'd be like, cut that thing off. Let's go to the doctor. I want to get rid of this thing. I mean, no one likes surgery. I don't. But man, I don't want some like growth coming out of my neck or something just sticking out over here. I'm like, can we get rid of that, please? I don't need that. I'd want to go into surgery and get rid of that thing. Amen. Well, but my fingers, man, let me keep these. My toes, I want every one of them, especially the little one. I want to keep all my toes. I don't want to lose a kneecap. I don't even want to lose a chunk of my leg. Nothing. I want all of it. I want to keep everything. I want to keep even, what's that thing called? They said you don't need it. Was vestigial, your appendix. I want to keep my appendix too. Tonsils, I keep them. I don't want to lose none of it. Okay? I don't want to lose any of it. I need it all. Well, that's a vital member. Those are all integral parts of my body, of your body. But man, if I got some weird growth going on me, cut that thing off. That's what a member of a church is that does nothing, that isn't involved, that has no part in what's going on here, no part in the body, because the church is described as a body. That's what we are. Well, every part of my body is functional. It does something. Even the things we can't see. I mean, my liver, my kidneys, all that stuff does something. My pancreas, I don't know what it does, but it does something. Amen. It's needed. It's important. My lungs, I'm thankful for those. You can't see them, but man, I need them. I want my eyes. See, those are the things that, man, those are important right there. I even want my eyebrows. All right? You ever seen how freaky people look without their eyebrows? I'm like, you're like, whoa, who's that freak? And you're trying to even figure out who they are. I mean, now if I have a unibrow, I'm like, let's get rid of some of that in the middle there. But I want my eyebrows, okay? I want my eyelashes. I want all that stuff. But not some weird growth. See, a church is a body. So you need to ask yourself, where do I fit in? What am I doing to help this body, to be a benefit to this body? Because I'm telling you, everything has purpose. Even the shape of our ears help to direct noise into our ear. You say, but that's just that like weird flap-up stuff over there. But it has a purpose. All of it does. Everything about us has a purpose. So if you want to be a member of this church, then ask yourself, what's my purpose? And it's okay to let, hey, as we move forward, if your heart says, Lord, I just want to be a part of this thing. I don't even know where I fit, but help me. Show me. God has a place for you. You may not even know it, but God says, I got a place for you picked out already. Right. Amen. So just be willing to fill it. That's all right. You don't have to know exactly where it is right now. You know what? Part of your place might just be to be a smile to somebody that walks in. I'm telling you. Now, that shouldn't be all that we do, but that might be it. You might be excellent at just an outgoing person that just makes people feel welcomed, and amen and amen. Because look, we need that, amen. With me as the preacher, you need that. I'm not kidding when I say that, because I mean, I come down hard on some things. I understand that. So we need, especially some of you ladies, just smiling faces. Hey, come on in. Glad to have you here. We absolutely need that. That's 100% needed. So fit in where the Lord wants you, but be willing to do what God wants you to. Again, you can keep attending and not be a member. I don't want you to feel like, well, you just can't be here. We don't want you here. That is not the attitude in this at all. We absolutely want you here. We'll help you grow. You grow and realize, okay, maybe this is where the Lord wants me. But I would ask you, are you praying about it? Don't just say, no, I'm not doing that. I don't like that. You pray about it and make sure that you're where God wants you to be. If we as a church are going to start churches, which Lord willing we will, then I would want us all on the same page. I'd really want every member of this church to be 100% behind that. We need that. We need you to be behind it. Again, looking at the church as a body. I mean, if you wake up tomorrow and you're like, all right, I'm going to work, but your right leg says, I'm staying home. How's that going to work out? Is it going to work? Nope. It's all got to work together. We all have to be in unity. We'll get to that. Baptism is the door to church membership. We can see that in Acts 2:41. It says, then they that gladly received his word. There's the salvation. It says, after they received his word, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. After baptism, then they were added to the church. And that's what blows away the universal church right there. It was already, the church was already in existence. And again, also the Pentecost birthday of the church theory is blown away right there. On the day of Pentecost, it's blown away because the universal church teaching says that, the church was started on Pentecost. That's not true because they were added to it. It was already there. It already had to be in existence for them to be added to it. So they were added unto the church, 3,000 souls that day. Why? Through baptism. So baptism is the door to church membership. Since it's the door, we as a church must carefully guard the door and make certain that people are born again. And evidence that their new life in Christ. We have to do that. Baptists throughout history have held to a regenerate church membership. So no, it's only for the saved. You must be saved to be a member of this church. That's the Bible example. That's the only example you ever see in the Bible. You must be saved to be a member of any true church. It's one of the requirements. Baptism's the other. Well, walking in holiness. And so there's more, but you understand the salvation, baptism, okay? So you must be saved. So this is a time as we're even looking at this, examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Make sure you know the Lord. And I'm not trying to talk anyone out of their salvation, but I want you to make sure you're saved. Don't go back to, well, my mom and dad told me when I was a little kid that I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. No, no. When did you do it?
Amen.
When did you ask Christ to be your Savior? When did he come into you and live on the inside of you and change you? Now, sometimes if you've grown up in church, that the change won't be as evident as maybe it is someone that lived in the world, but what it will entail is you're going to have a love to be around God's people. You're going to have a love for His Word. You're going to want to be in church. Those things will be there. Maybe not always and not super strong all the time. I get it. But the desire should be there. There should be a desire on your behalf for the things of God.
Amen.
At some time. If you never desire the things of God, are you sure? Ask yourself if you're sure the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. The Holy Spirit, God Himself is living inside of you, and you never, never desire the things of God? I don't buy that. I don't buy it. So ask yourself, is there any desire for the things of God in my life? You'd be saved, regenerate church membership. It's our job to guard that door. Why? Because we don't want lost people coming in here and making spiritual decisions. Because as a church, that's what we're doing. We don't want that. That's dangerous for us. And let me say, too, none of us can guard that 100% perfectly. All right? I'm telling you, the Lord had Judas in His church. Come on. He was a member. Turn with me, if you would, save your spot in Acts chapter 2. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 and verse 7. I'm going to read right when I get there because I'm running out of time here. Matthew 3, 7. This is John the Baptist. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Here's what he expected of these Pharisees, these religious types. He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He said, show me evidence that you've repented.
Amen.
Give me something. Fruits meet. It means suitable. Something showing you've repented. Where's the fruit in it? That's what God expects. Church membership is a great privilege and one that we must take seriously. 2,000 years ago, when somebody was baptized and wanting to join a local church, they were willing to put their life on the line. Think about it. It cost them something. I mean, take yourself back to the time of Christ. What happened here on the day of Pentecost? They had just killed the founder of this thing. 50 days ago, he was dead. And now you're going to identify with him and the institution he started? You say, I want to be a part of that. You're not going to step into that thing lightly. And throughout history, when it's meant the death of people, I'm going to hold them under. You want to be a Baptist? I'll baptize you. Come here. Boom. Drown them. Just hold them under there till they, all life is sucked out of them.
Right.
Man, you're going to think twice. You're going to think probably 10 times. Am I sure I want to do this? Do I really want to be a part of this? I know that's what the Bible says. The Lord says I should be a part of His body. But man, that's a high cost. Am I really, really serious about that? But guess what? We don't have that problem today. It's not there. Amen? Kinda. I mean, I get both sides of it. I can see both sides. It's good and it's bad. I mean, praise God, I don't have to die for the faith right now. I don't necessarily want to. But on the other side, then anybody and everybody's, you know, a Christian. They're joining churches, and it means nothing. Let me tell you why. Because we haven't guarded the primary principles.
Amen.
It means nothing. We've accepted baptisms from all over, anything and everything that calls itself Christian. Oh, it's good. It's fine. Well, where do we draw the line? What's good and what isn't? Is the Catholic Church baptism good? Oh, no. Well, is the immersion from the Church of Christ good? Why not? Yeah, I know. But see, where do we draw the line? We draw the line when churches depart from the primary principles. That's what tells us. And this is what's marked Baptists all throughout history, is that they've stood for these principles. They've stood for these things. They've required a regenerate church membership, and they've held the line on these things, and this is exactly what we need to do. So again, 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, 500 years ago, it meant something if you were going to identify with the Lord's church through baptism, and you're saying, I want to be a part of that. God, I know that's what God says in His Word. I have to do this. I can't not do it. But again, that problem's not here today. So here's the dilemma then. Well, what do we do? I mean, how do we know if someone's serious? So look, it should be like this. If we're going to join the Lord's church, we may not have to die for it, but we should most certainly be willing to live for Him. Amen. We may not have to die for Him today, but we should most certainly be willing to live for Him. Young people, listen up. Listen up. You willing to live for the Lord? You willing to live for the Lord? Are you? Will you live for Him when you're not here, when you're at school? When you're at work? Will you live for the Lord? Are you going to cower in shame because I'm a Christian and I have to wear a skirt? How embarrassing. That says something. That says something. Are you ashamed of your Lord? Are you ashamed to be identified with Him? Because you don't have to die for Him right now. But will you live for Him? You men at work, when the dirty jokes start coming out, hey, check this out. Let me show you what's this text I got on my phone. Where's my phone? Let me show you this. Come here. Come check it out. Are you just going to look and be like, oh, you know, not say anything? Your first response should be, is that filthy? Well, I've had to do that. So I'm just going to let them know right up front, right where I stand. Don't bring that garbage to me anymore. Is it filthy? What is it? And you just told them, but are we embarrassed? Are we ashamed of the Lord? We may not have to die for Him. Will you live for Him? Will you live for Him? This is what God expects of a church member. So again, I say, ask yourself, are you willing to be an integral part of what we're doing? If so, will you live for Him? Not be half in, half out, straddling the fence. You know, I just don't know which way I'm going. I don't know which side I want. How effective are you like this? You can't do anything like this. Where do I stand? What am I going to do now? Pick a side. Christian, pick a side. Where do you stand? I hope you fall on the side of, man, I want to be part of the Lord's church. But if not, then say so. My parents won't let me. You better look into your heart then. That's a dangerous place to be. Amen. You come in, I don't know how long you've been in Christianity, but coming from this and the doctrine you get here, and you're saying, my parents won't let me. I'd leave if I could. All right. It's your choice. Pick a side. Quit pretending. Not that this side's wrong. You understand what I'm saying. Pick the side over here. The Lord's church is what I want. That's where I'm going to stand. Don't be ashamed of Him. Live for Him. Be willing to live for the Lord. Don't be embarrassed about what people think about you. Jesus said, if you'll be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you at my coming. You want that? You want Him to be ashamed of you? I wouldn't want that. So no one I, as a church, I don't want us really to consider anybody for membership who's not willing to live for Him. So as you come, if you say, Pastor, I want to join, you're telling me I want to live for the Lord. I want to live for the Lord, and I want to be a part of what's going on here. How can I help? How can I serve? What can I do to serve the Lord? We've gotten away from really New Testament Christianity because it's more like just, well, come attend church, attend church, attend church. If you're attending church, hey, you're a great Christian. Nope. I'm telling you, if that's all you've ever done your Christian life, the Lord will rebuke you when He gets here. When He takes you to home, to heaven, when He raptures you, He is going to rebuke you if that's all you've ever done. And look, I'm telling you right now, the way the Lord works, He works through His New Testament church, nothing outside of that. Amen. Nothing. He has established nothing else outside of His New Testament church. Amen. Nothing. So any ministry you serve in ought to be through this church. You say, well, this church doesn't have what I want. Well, then you say, what the Lord started isn't good enough. I'm just telling you, we better be careful with that type of stuff. There's so many parachurch organizations. How many of you have heard that statement before? Parachurch organization. Okay, para meaning extra. You know, it needs a host to live off of. That's what a parachurch organization is. So they need a host. The host is the church. Okay? Churches, not a universal church, but it fits with the universal church teaching, these parachurch organizations, because we're all the church. I'm telling you, in my estimation, as I've studied things, the most damnable and harmful doctrine to all of Christianity is the universal church. Right. Every false doctrine that's ever come out has been a result of the universal church teaching. Every major heresy, let me put it like that, that is in existence today is a result of the universal church teaching. So getting back to a parachurch organization, something that's outside of the authority of a local New Testament church, it needs a host to live off of. So it lives off of churches. Without churches, they would die. Because churches are made up of saved people. Without their support, they would die. Well, it's just like a parasite. Anybody want a parasite in their body? No, thank you. Right? I don't want a parasite in my body. What are those? I don't want a tapeworm in my intestines, okay, eating everything that I eat. But that's what it is. It needs a host to live off of. It eats all the food that you eat, takes all the nutrients that you need. It takes that, and those things have gotten, I don't know how long, I mean, extremely long within your intestines, within people's intestines. They've been taken out of people that have tapeworms, and I mean, they're like crazy long, growing, living inside of people. I'll take three, please. But we're not going to serve God in this church here, but we're going to serve Him in a parachurch organization. That's not biblical. So ask yourself, hey, am I going to be an integral part of this church? We want you to be. I want you to be. Do you want to be? Do you want to be a part of what we're doing right here? What we expect of members here is that they would be faithful to all the services. That's something that we expect. We expect a member to be faithful to all the services here. That's not above and beyond Christianity, by the way. I mean, that's just the basic norm. If we want to get back to the Bible, they met every day. They met every day. So to expect us to be faithful to all the services is just the very basics. The very basics. If I told you guys, hey, Jesus is going to be here next week. He's going to be preaching for us. We're going to have, I know it's going to be a little inconvenient, but He can only preach every day from 2 in the afternoon to 4 in the afternoon. How many of you are like, I'm calling in? Like, ah, I can't make it. Lord, I got to work. Oh, the kids have soccer. Can't do it. I got a game I gotta go to. I can't make it. No, I'm like dropping everything. Yeah, amen. What, the Lord's gonna be here? Jesus? I'm taking a picture. I'm getting a selfie with Jesus. Right? I mean, come on, right? Isn't that what we're thinking? We're going to be here. I'm not saying I'm Jesus by any means, okay? I'm not saying that. But look, this is the institution he died for. He died for this. He says, it's this important. I died for it. I gave my life for it. We ought to make it a priority. I'm not mad at anybody if you have to miss for work. I understand that. I did it for years. I had to. We got to take care of our family. But I'm talking about we miss because, you know, we stubbed our toe. We miss because we got a splinter. I mean, I've heard everything. I'm telling you, I've heard it all. I used to love it. I worked swing shift. I'd get out at 12:30. It took me 30 minutes to get home. I'd usually be in bed about 1:30 or 2 on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. Okay, and then I'd wake up at 6 and we'd get ready and we'd go do the bus at probably 5:30 and we'd be ready to go drive the bus. I drove the bus and we'd pick up kids starting at, I forget what time, 8. Was it 8? 7:30? 7:30. All right, and we'd be there and then I'd talk to people and I'd be like, hey, we missed you at church. They'd be like, oh, yeah. You know, I stayed up so late Saturday night, I wasn't able to make it. I mean, I was up till like 11:30. I was like, oh, I just smile at them and just roll with them. I'd be like, I know exactly how you feel. I work every Saturday night. I don't even get out till 12:30. I know exactly how you feel. Sorry we missed you. And that's all I'd say, and I'd just smile at them. I wouldn't be like, oh, you're wicked. I wouldn't say that. I just, oh, okay, nothing but it. All I heard was just an excuse. Yeah, amen. That's all I heard. That's all, I'm telling you. Can we just put our excuses away? Just put them away. Hey, when you miss, just be like, I missed. I shouldn't have missed. I missed. I respect that more than all the excuses that come out. Right. People just start saying stuff. I'm not picking on anybody here. I promise you, I'm not. I'm even thinking of people before I came here. All right? So if you want to look at it like that, I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on them. Okay? But I'm just telling you, when I hear that, all I hear is just excuse, excuse, excuse. That's all I hear coming out of their mouth. Just wah, 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 wah. That's what I hear. Right. I'm not kidding. That's what I hear. I'm like, stop. My kids know. I'm like, that's an excuse. Don't give me an excuse. Don't give me, you just did wrong, just admit it. Okay, no excuses. And I'll tell you that I'll try not to give excuses. I really will. I don't like it when other people do it to me. I try not to do it to others. If I do, just, Pastor, that's an excuse. I'll be like, you know, hang my head in shame and tuck my tail between my legs and be like, you're right. I mean, because I told you all that, all right? I don't like it. So, hey, if I'm making an excuse, just tell me. Be like, Pastor, that's an excuse. I'll be like, oh, you're right, sorry. But... But look, don't let anything and everything just keep you away from church, from the Lord. Look, where's your commitment level to Him? Are you committed to the Lord? That's why we're looking at this. Ask yourself if you're committed to the Lord. Because I'm telling you, we want you here. We want you here. Our intent is not to keep people out, but rather we want serious-minded, committed Christians. Not committed to an insane asylum. Committed to the Lord. We want you to be serious-minded and committed. That's what we're looking for. And if you're not there quite yet, that's okay. Keep coming. Keep growing. We'll help you. It's okay. But if you want to be a member here, then really be committed. Be all in. Because you don't expect members of your body to just be like, I'm not working today. Hand telling head, I'm staying home today. You don't want that. You're like, no, it's going with me. We're a body. Are we working together? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, if you would, please. First Corinthians 12:18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. See, God has a place for you. God thought of you. when he said there's going to be Liberty Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. God was thinking of you. And he says, I have a place for you. For you. God wanted to put, he has a place he wants to put you. Will you fit that place? We're going to be a deformed, decrepit body if you're not a part of it. I mean, try walking around with your eyes closed for a while. Do it at your house. Blindfold yourself and try and walk around your house and be like, this is no fun. Well, you might be our eyes. How effective are we going to be as a body if you don't show up? If a foot doesn't show up. It talks about the uncomely parts. They're all necessary. All of it's needed. Everything's needed there. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So those that we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Say, I'm not that important here. Okay, tell that to your pinky toe when you stub it. You're not that important. Quit whining. No. That guy is super important. It affects your whole body. I mean, you'll be on the floor. You ever get a cramp in your toe? I mean, that shuts the whole body down. I mean, you're on the floor and you're just like, I got a cramp. You can't do anything. You're good for nothing. But that's an uncomely part. Some people look at feet. They're like, nasty. Oh. Especially when you look at guys' feet and they have hair on their toes and stuff. I mean, man, that's so gross. I mean, most daughters don't like their dad's feet. They're like, disgusting. I mean, that's how it is, right? That's uncomely until you got a cramp in your foot and you're just like, it's not working. You need some help. Then it's important. That's you. You're important. You're needed. We need you here. So what does it mean to be serious-minded and committed to the Lord? Or what does an average church member in the Bible look like? I'm supposed to start my sermon now, but it's already 7. I'm not going to keep you all longer. I'm going to mention to you what is vital to a church, though. If you would go back to Acts chapter 2. Verse 41, I mentioned these already, Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see salvation and baptism, the prerequisites to being a member of the church. That's why we're getting baptized next week, because we need biblical baptism. What we had was not. What I had was not. It wasn't valid. My ordination wasn't valid. I love the church I came from. I love the people there. I love my pastor. But it wasn't valid. That's why we're getting it right. So we could fix that. So we need salvation and then baptism. Next, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine. We need the right doctrine. The right truth. What the Word of God says. Without swaying to the left or to the right. We need the right doctrine and fellowship. I'm telling you, fellowship is so important. It is so important because fellowship gives us the feeling that we have here like family. And I come here, I feel like family. I love you all. I would do anything for any of you. If you needed me any time of the day for whatever, I will be there for you as much as I could. I'll give you whatever you needed if you need it. I would help you in any way I could. And I know others of you feel that same way, and that's what we should have. And that comes about because of fellowship. Because the hour we spend after services here, hanging out, talking with each other, spending time outside of here even, all that stuff builds that fellowship, that closeness. It builds it so that we feel like that we can go and we can come alongside a brother and provoke them unto love and good works. But also so we can go alongside a brother, and when they're down and discouraged, we can pick them up and, as the Bible says, exhort them, exhortation, come alongside them and hold them up when they need it. When they're hurting, when they're broken. And we can hold them up and just carry them along and be that shoulder to cry on or whatever it may be and help them along. But it also means that we can go to that brother or sister in love. And as we learned in charity, that charity rejoiceth not in iniquity but in the truth. And we can maybe sometimes tell them something that might hurt them, but it's for their own good. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I always forget the other part of it. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. Thank you. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. See, an enemy will lie to you and tell you all sorts of sweet things. I mean, you're just going off in wicked sin, and they're like, that's okay, don't listen to them. Don't listen to that church, the Bible, it's okay. You're doing fine, you're a Christian. You can go hang out with the devil, what? They told you you couldn't? That's what it is. They'll just comfort you on your way to hell. But a friend will say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's going to end in disaster. Please reconsider what you're doing. See, that fellowship builds the relationship so you can say, I can go to this brother, this sister, and I think they'll receive it in the right way. We're close enough that they will. Fellowship, it's important. All right, doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, amen, that just helps. Right? That just helps. Eating some food brings that fellowship. And in prayers. Boy, prayer, how important prayer is. Look, I had a whole illustration I was going to do with this vacuum right here. Man, it was going to be good. Do it. All right, I need some help. I need somebody to help me. Who wants to help me? Any volunteers or do we need voluntolds? All right, come on up. All right, man. All right. Let me get this here for you. All right, will you take this over there? There's some dirt around that door. Will you vacuum it up for me? Go ahead. You may have to move that fan. Go for it. Just vacuum it up. Go ahead. Hit the switch. It'll work. Turn it on. Go for it. Keep going. Just pull it back and forth. This should work. Come on. You getting it? Hit the switch the other way, maybe. It's not doing anything? Well, why not? Because there's no power, right? That thing's worthless without power. It's worthless without power. But man, if we plug it in, let's see what happens. I'll plug it in on this one. Go ahead. Woo! You like that? I like that sound when it does like, I like that. All right, how'd it do there? Did you get it? We got most of it, huh? That's good. Go ahead. You can turn it off. There we go. Thank you. I appreciate that. It picked it up. Did you hear it? I like that sound when you're vacuuming and it's like, things are banging around. I'm like, it's getting clean, even if it's not, even if it's still dirty. I feel like it's clean. Well, all the difference it made once it was plugged in. Power. That's what prayer brings. It brings the power of God. With prayer, we have access to the Almighty. And with God, all things shall be possible. Through prayer. How much we neglect it. We need private prayer and corporate prayer. Corporate is when we pray as a church. And something moving into this next year is we're getting ready. I pray we can start a church this year. But we are going to, as a church, and especially the men of our church, and all of us as a church, we're going to start fasting and praying and asking God to show us and guide us and provide for us so that we can start a church. Because without the power, it's worthless. It doesn't do anything. We need God involved in what we're doing. So, prayer is necessary to be an effective church. And then this fits with verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice there was only one doctrine. That's important. There was only one doctrine. And verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord. You see that? See the unity? In the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That means they were all set for the same thing. We need unity in this church. We need to be going the same direction in this church, to have the same mind. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. This is only possible in a local church. Amen. This is impossible to obey in a universal church. That's why that is a false, heretical doctrine, the universal church. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say the universal church, I encourage you to jump on our website, go listen to the series I preached last May is when it started on the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, it's on the church. All right? 1 Corinthians 1:10, this is only possible in a local assembly. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all, he's talking to a local church here, the church in Corinth, he says that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He says, I want you thinking the same. Unity. Unity. Do we have unity of mind? Are we going the same direction? If you're thinking, man, what, they want to start churches? What is that all about? I don't know about that. Then maybe this isn't the place for you. Look, I'm telling you, we want you. But we want you, we only want you if you're going the same direction. If we're going this way and you're trying to pull everyone this way, no, just go that way by yourself. Because you're not willing to be a member here. My whole body works together. If we're going this way and you want to go this way, you're like that lump on the neck. You're no use to what we're doing. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you're a bad person, but you're not going where we're going, so you're going to harm what we're doing here. And you're going to take the Lord's blessing off of what we're doing here, and we don't want that. I don't want that. I hope you don't want that for us. So what I want you to be the member that God wants you to be. Look, we just looked at really quickly, we just looked at an average member in the Bible from Acts 2, 41 down to 46. Those characteristics that you're saved, you're baptized, you've got the same doctrine,